Anointing. Welcome today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're excited that you are joining us. Whether it is live or later at a different time on our website, we're glad you're with us today on this radio show, which of course, yes, is live in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful day. Pastor Jim to my left.
Gorgeous.
Connie Farmer to my right. Oh, my, what a day. Did we have church today? Did we have church? I mean, is there any other place we can hang another body, maybe from the side of the walls or something?
I think we probably could have put a few more chairs up, but, you know.
It was amazing.
It's a tight squeeze.
It's a tight squeeze. Woo-hoo! But
and
it's a good day.
Getting tighter every week.
Yes. Getting tighter every week. There are
Amen.
People sitting in the office. This is great. Praise God. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we want you to come and join us. We'll find a place for you. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And except for next Sunday, which is Easter. No.
Easter.
Nothing wrong with me. It's Easter next week. All right.
Well, it just seems like it was Easter last week.
It does.
Now it's Christmas.
What is it next week? What is
Easter?
It? It's Easter. I don't know. So it's Christmas next
Christmas.
Sunday. We aren't going to have church, but we will be on the radio live at 4 o'clock next Sunday.
Right. And if you're not doing anything next Friday night.
Yes. Tell us about Friday night, Pastor Jim.
On the 23rd at 7 o'clock at church. We're going to have our Christmas Eve, Christmas Day service on the 23rd.
Yes.
Candlelight service. We'll be singing some Christmas carols. There'll be poetry, story reading. Right, Connie? Yeah.
She has to work. Just work.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah.
We expect a tape.
Yeah.
I was thinking I should
tape it.
Special music. So it'll
be
a really
it's going to be great. Great candlelight service and a lot of fun. And you know, those of you that are in the Tampa Bay area, come and check us out. God is blessing so mightily. We're growing so much. And we're growing in the Word. And that is more important. I mean, that is the whole thing, what we are about at Beacon of Hope, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about. So we're excited about the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. David said in Psalm 27, I would have despaired unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the goodness of the Lord on a daily basis. So we're not despairing. We are excited about what God is doing. We look forward to every service. Pastor Jim, you've been doing a tremendous series on Wednesday night Bible study on the boot camp basics, the basics of our faith. And last week we were on the second coming of Jesus. We're going more into that this week, aren't we? So those that want to get in on that,
please join us on Wednesday nights.
Yes. Bring your Bible, a notebook. We set up tables. It's more informal. Bring your dinner if you're coming from work.
Yeah, we have prayer meeting at 6:15, and then we start the Bible study about 7.
Yes. Fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's great.
It's just great. Connie, our counseling ministry is growing.
No kidding.
Connie's the director of counseling, and you're also the musical director for the radio show. Plus, you run the sound, and you do all kinds of other things. You're a busy girl, aren't you?
Delegate's the name of the game.
Delegate is the name of the game. Connie, you've been with us at Beacon of Hope since 03. What a blessing that you are and what God is doing in our lives and the ministry. And you just look and see the changes. Wow.
One of the visitors, I think this is her second Sunday today, told me we were sitting there eating, and she said, "I just love this place."
Really?
Yeah.
Did you whisper it? Can they hear in Radio Land? You want to say that?
I just love this place.
Okay. Yeah.
She didn't say it like really loud, but she said, "I just love this place." And I said, "Yeah, isn't it really cool?" I said, "I love it too." She said, "How long have you been here?" I said, long time. And she said, oh, so you were around when the truck went through the place? I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was asking, you know, how it happened and all that. But she said, man, I love this place.
Well, it's just amazing because it's a family. You know, mm-hmm. we come from so many different walks of life and so many different professions and occupations and ethnically mm-hmm. different.
I know. That's the
Isn't that great?
Thing.
I love it. And
we have an international church.
We do. We do. It's just fascinating. You know, and I love that. And babies, there were little ones today. That's mm-hmm. exciting. There's just so much to be thankful for. If you're out of state and come to Florida, please make time to come by Beacon of Hope in Clearwater. We're on 3700 Almerton.
It's one of the historical sites in town.
It is one of the...
It's on the tourist map, you know.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, Con.
Swing by. Sunday mornings, nobody has anything to do anyway.
Right,
so just
10
come
o'clock.
To church, and then you can go to the beach.
Well, next Sunday we won't have a service, but 2 weeks right. from today will be our kickoff service for the brand new year. It's kind of exciting that New Year's Day ends up on Sunday, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we will that day only, we will have our service at 11 instead of 10 because of people getting up, because of being up late at night on Saturday night, on New Year's Eve. So exciting days. We're blessed to be in the end time move of the Lord in this area of the country. And for those of you that are a part of this ministry from a distance, and there's several of you, many of you in other states, we thank God for you today, and we're glad mm-hmm. you're joining us. And Pastor Jim, let's start with prayer.
Okay. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Lord, that in this time of busyness, we can just take a moment and stop and really think about what Christmas means. And just that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son so that we who believe in him would not perish. Jesus, we thank you, and we ask you to bless this time on the radio. Let the words that we speak just, Lord, be that sword that it would sink deep into our spirits and provide us with strength, provide us with nurturing, provide us, Lord, with which is power through your word. Father, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Ooh.
Amen.
Amen and amen. The Heart of Christmas by Matthew West.
I'm gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. Here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how.
Praise God. That's a good song. I've never heard that, Connie.
It's new.
It is new. It's a nice song by Matthew West. Welcome to Living a Good Life. We're talking about Luke chapter 1. We left off here last week. The series is God's timing is the best timing. And, you know, Pastor Jim, so often we kind of argue with God about his timing in our lives. We have a hard time, that no pun intended there, but we have a difficult time accepting God's timing in our lives. Yet we see all through the scripture that God has divine perfect timing.
Yeah, from beginning to end.
Amazing,
isn't it? From Revelation, there's references to God being in charge of time.
Totally in time. And, you know, I love Ecclesiastes. There's a time to...
Time to
be born, time to die.
Right. All those in Ecclesiastes.
Time to dance.
Time to dance. Yes. Well, that's
like
you,
today.
Pastor Jim.
Like today, yeah.
As you go flitting across the front of this sanctuary. It was amazing. But that song, Days of Elijah, that we is one of our favorite, just causes you to want to dance.
It does.
You know? Especially you. But anyway, God's timing. You know, here we have the Christmas story. We're all familiar with it. If it weren't for all of the prophecies from clear back that God began, clear back with Abraham, it would be, for some people, possibly saying, well, you know, it just kind of happened at that time. No, it happened at the time.
Well, yeah, and we talked about that on one scale. We talked a little bit about that, touched on it last Wednesday.
Yes.
At Bible study, you know, the prophecy in Daniel that after, you know, Daniel was, it was prophesied to Daniel that there'd be 70 weeks of years or 490 years, and that Messiah would come at the 483rd year.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly what happened.
You know.
How cool is that?
You can use either one of the decrees and you come up with Jesus.
Yes,
you know,
up with Jesus.
Either the one for Artaxerxes in 458 or the one in 445. It don't matter. You're going to end up with Jesus.
Right. And so, and we know that. Let's look at what Mary says. Actually, maybe we need to start back at verse 35 of Luke 1 where we left off last week. God, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, of course, and says she's going to carry the son, the son of God. And Elizabeth, the angel goes ahead and says, did you know your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Everyone called her barren. Here she is, 6 months pregnant. I wonder if maybe Mary didn't even know at that point, because they didn't live close to each other, did they?
It doesn't seem like Mary did.
Yeah, because the angel's like telling, you know.
Telling her, and then.
No cell phones.
Right. Well, yeah, there was no communication.
No communication.
No Pony Express.
Nothing,
right.
Really.
This was a good, Elizabeth lived in the hills of Judea. And remember, Mary was in Galilee. And I looked and checked it out after this morning's service.
Right, yeah.
It's about a 4 or 5 days walk.
Seriously?
So,
four or five days walk? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
From a day's journey from Galilee, from Nazareth down into...
So pregnant Mary took off and went to visit cousin Elizabeth and walked all that distance.
Well, I don't know. She walked. She may have taken a donkey or...
Right.
But still.
But still, it's 4 or 5 days journey.
Wow.
And that's why...
Wow.
You know, and we don't know how close of a cousin they were.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
But they knew each other well. I mean, so, you know, for her to go and stay with her. And so Mary goes there. But that's fantastic. A 4 or 5 days journey. So, okay. But I love verse 38 so much because, at least in the Message Bible, here's what it says. Mary says this after the angel says to Mary, nothing you see is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible
nothing?
With God. Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing. And so Mary says, yes, I see it all now. And, you know, I was challenging our people this morning to begin to see what God sees about you.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to believe what God believes about you. Begin to reach out and claim the promises of God for your own life. Because Mary says, after the angel says, all right, this is happening. You're being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And Mary goes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. Or I love the New American Standard. It says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Look at the attitude of this teenage girl who so willingly submitted. Connie, comment on that, will you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, God's looking for somebody with the right heart, always. He looks at our heart. He doesn't look at what we do and how we are, but he looks at our heart, what our intentions are, and whether or not we're willing to take that one step.
Right.
And do and be obedient.
2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord roam around the earth, looking for those whose heart is completely his." Looking for those whose heart is completely his. I believe that he found this girl, mm-hmm. Mary, and said, "She's got a heart after me," because we see in the scripture she knew the word. Mm-hmm. Mary knew the word. Mary did not question the angel and say, "How can this be?" like Zechariah did. She just submitted to the will of the Lord, and she said, "Be it done to me according to your word." You know? So here we are, and Mary goes on a trip. So we were talking about this trip this morning. She takes off. It says here in the Message Bible in verse 39, I'm in Luke 1 for those who just joined us. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to this town in Judah, straight to Zechariah's house, to cousin Elizabeth, to her cousin who is now pregnant with John the Baptist. Pastor Jim, talk to me about this event, because when Mary goes in and says, "Hey, Elizabeth," something dramatic happens here in Luke 1, starting with verse 39.
Yeah, it's amazing, because two big things happen. You know, it's Mary greets Elizabeth. John starts doing backflips in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she prophesies some neat stuff about Mary.
I mean, so wild, isn't it? I mean, just the greeting.
Yeah.
But she hadn't read about the gifts of the Spirit yet, had she?
No, it happened. So, I mean, this is just submission, surrender to God in your life. And, I mean, yeah, hey, Liz, and then look what happens. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, John in the womb. John at that point was only 6 months. He was a fetus of 6 months. So, and he heard that, and he just jumped for joy because he knew who was there. And then the Holy Spirit sovereignly came upon Elizabeth.
Yes.
And, you know, she says, you know, "God has blessed you," or "You're blessed among women." You
begin to prophesy.
Yeah, you are the most blessed of women.
Yeah.
And I love what she says a little bit later. And you didn't quite get to this today.
Go ahead.
Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
But, you know, "You're blessed more than any woman, and blessed is the fruit of your womb."
Right.
And then Elizabeth says, "But wow, I am blessed. You know, why has this happened to me? Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should come?"
Yeah.
And then she said, "When I heard your voice, this is what happened. The baby, you know, John jumped. I got filled with the Holy Spirit." But then she says in verse 45, "You're blessed because you believed what the Lord said would really happen."
isn't that huge go
that's
ahead
huge.
Go ahead.
Well,
that's
because,
Elizabeth talking to Mary,
because then Mary says later, you know, in what's called the Magnificat, "All generations shall call me blessed." Well, it's not blessed. I mean, you know, we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary and we put
it's
her
not
on
like
pedestal.
That that's not what was
She's
really
blessed
being said
because she believed what God said.
That's
what Elizabeth
it right
says
there.
Here, you know, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord said would really happen."
Yes.
Would really be fulfilled. So we can be blessed the same as Mary.
Right.
By believing that what God said is going to happen is going to happen.
Right.
By believing that. That puts us, at least in that respect, on the same blessing level as Mary, because we are believing.
Amen. Amen. And just to see that Elizabeth was that in tune with what God was doing in the situation. Don't you find that fascinating? Mm-hmm. That evidently God had already revealed to her spirit down on the inside, "Hey, your cousin Mary." I mean, it was no secret. It was, and how did they communicate this? But we know that the angel communicated to Mary about Elizabeth. So very likely Elizabeth knew somehow within her. Maybe it was revealed sovereignly on the inside of her. Doubt it that she got a postcard.
Word of knowledge.
Huh? Word of knowledge, yes. I mean, because, I mean, she didn't have any way of communication, really.
Right, and she did seem to know. How is it that the mother of my Lord?
Yes.
Okay, so word of knowledge, somehow she knew that Mary had had that experience with Gabriel, and that the Holy Spirit then, and the power from on high, had overshadowed her, and that she was carrying the Messiah.
Yes.
You know, somehow Elizabeth knew that, and that's kind of cool, too.
But she was just as willing as Mary was.
Yeah, Elizabeth was, yes.
So it was almost like they're, you know, they're in the same, in tune, you know, same level.
Same kind of level of faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's certainly a little more in tune than her husband.
Right.
No offense to Zechariah, but, you know, we've all had Zechariah moments.
Right.
But, you know, you think, just seems like Elizabeth was a little bit.
She was different. She was in a different place. Remember, she went, after she did get pregnant, she went off by herself for a few months.
And I think like what you said, I think it was to be with God.
Yeah.
Because she said, I'm going to, you know, God has taken away my shame. Well, then that's a pretty odd reaction. If God took away your shame, why are you hiding yourself?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's just kind of, you think, oh, God's taken away my shame. I want to be out here so everybody can see me get pregnant, you know, so everybody can see me start to really show. And yet she hides herself for 5 months. And you wonder, you know, I think you had mentioned it last week, praising God, praying. I believe she was just in communion with God. And I really think, and this just hit me, I think she was waiting for Gabriel to visit Mary before she came out of seclusion. I think somehow she knew when that happened, because that was the 6 month.
Right.
Gabriel comes down, tells Mary. Mary takes a 3 or 4 day journey to where Elizabeth is at.
And stays 3 months.
Yeah, and stays and hangs around for 3 months till John's born.
Right.
So, you know, I think she was just
good point.
Spent all that time with God.
Yeah.
And I envy her that.
You know?
I really do.
But look, they both did this. Isn't this interesting? We didn't bring it out in the sermons at church, but Elizabeth and Mary both went to a place of seclusion when they were so filled up with God, basically. They got away from the negativity of anybody around them. They got away from attitudes of anybody, and they went to that quiet place, and
And that's what Jesus used to do.
And Jesus did the same thing. You're right, Connie. Good point.
He went away and prayed and prayed and
spent the night in prayer. And
interesting. So he took after his mother and his aunt Elizabeth.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
And, you know, I try sometimes at home, you know, to just, like, when I have the evenings free, some evenings free or a few hours, and I think, you know, I could just turn some music on, and, you know, I try, and then you just
nod off and go to sleep. Yeah.
Or, you know, or something else happens, somebody calls, or you get distracted, and, you know.
But you want to spend that quality time, you know.
It's hard.
It is, but it's so important that we do that, that we find that place, that place of prayer, that place of alone. Turn off your phone if you have to. Things like that that we have to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and I was thinking, kind of getting back a little bit to Elizabeth, I wonder why she was so different from her husband. You know, he was a priest. He had that once-in-a-lifetime moment.
He was religious.
Yeah, and Connie, jump ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. But you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
He had the head knowledge.
Right.
I mean, he knew all the rituals and everything, and I think that's why he was so dumbfounded when the angel came and just really had a difficult time believing it. He tended to look at the reality, what he could
see.
Elizabeth, I think, looked at things unseen, and we know Mary did, you know, because otherwise Mary wouldn't have had that heart after God like she did. And I really think that was a big difference. And I think, like you said, I think that's one of the reasons why the angel, why Gabriel had to shut Zechariah up so he didn't mess things up anymore.
Oh, I really feel
but
that
also,
way.
But also, all he could do then was think and ponder in his mind. And I have a feeling he spent nine months doing a lot of internal repenting and internal kind of house cleaning and you know, kind of looking over his own life and what had happened. I really think he spent those 9 months really getting himself back together with God.
We'll come back to Mary in a minute, but let's look at verse 57 of Luke 1. When Elizabeth was full term in her pregnancy, she bore a son. And I think probably Mary was still with her when that happened, mm-hmm. don't you? I really do. Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with mercy, celebrated with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and were calling him Zechariah after his father, which was the custom. But his mother intervened. No, he is to be called John, which now evidently the angel either communicated that to Elizabeth or Zechariah had written that on a little chalkboard somewhere. And
pastor note.
Pastor note. No, his name's going to be John. But they said, no one in your family is named that. They used sign language to ask Zechariah what he wanted him to be named, asking for a tablet. Zechariah wrote, his name is to be John. That took everyone by surprise. By the way, the name John means Jehovah gives favor. Surprise followed surprise. Now, I mean, we're seeing the word surprise so much in the Christmas story. We're seeing suddenly and we're seeing surprise. I love this. Zechariah's mouth was now open, his tongue loose, and he was talking and praising God. And a deep reverential fear settled over the neighborhood and in all of the Judean hill country. People talked about nothing else. I mean, when God does a miracle and a mighty act, people have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Everyone who heard about it took it to heart, wondering what will become of this child. Clearly, God has his hand in this.
And
I love that.
And there's a note in the Bible that I'm using. Not only was Zechariah struck dumb by Gabriel, why would they have to gesture? Why would they have to hand him a tablet?
He couldn't hear.
He was deaf.
He was deaf too.
He was not only struck mute, he was deaf. So God
he couldn't hear anything but what God was telling him.
No.
Ooh, that's so good.
That's really cool because it goes back to what other choice did he have but sit there? God said, okay, you're really going to have to think about me now because there's not going to be any distractions.
Right.
And if you don't, you can just see God saying, if you don't straighten up, I'll take your eyesight away too for about 8 months. Just to make sure
just
you get everything
going,
straight.
Keep pushing it to see what else you lose.
Yeah, wow. So that's true. That's very true. So he was not just mute. He was also dumb. He could not hear either.
Yeah, he was deaf and
deaf
he was
and
mute.
Dumb. Or what, I don't know, I got those words mixed up. But anyway, he was deaf and dumb. Yeah.
Deaf and dumb.
Yeah, so here he is, and he's with, alone. He's basically alone, because Elizabeth is gone off by herself for 5 months. And then Mary arrives, and so, I mean, he's...
So the women are off.
I think the women are off doing their thing and praising God all the time, and I think that Zechariah has got a lot of alone time to think all this over, don't you?
I think he did a lot of soul searching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here, God's done this for me. I mean, Elizabeth's obviously pregnant. God did fulfill his word. And I just have a feeling he just repented. And I think it was kind of his, you know, like Paul, when Paul got saved, when he got knocked off, you know, when he got knocked flat on his butt on the road to Damascus, he went and spent 3 years just meditating.
He
went to Arabia for 3 years.
He sure did.
And I think this was in the same way kind of Zechariah's time. Just to be alone with God. I mean, you know, we know that Elizabeth was secluded. Well, you know, God secluded Zechariah all on his own. And I think that was time that Zechariah spent getting to know God again. You know, instead of just the rituals and that kind of stuff. I think he spent that time really getting to know who God was.
I think
was.
He did too, because he gave the right response. If you think about it, the customs dictated that baby's name should be Zechariah.
Right.
A proud father who's never had a child and finally has a child and has a son at a very old age would probably naturally want to name him after himself, right?
And yet he named him, he was obedient finally, he named him John, which means God is gracious.
Yes, yes. And so as a result of this, their lives were never the same. Speaking of John the Baptist, he is the one who announced that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that day that John was baptizing in the Jordan River, which we find in the book of John in chapter 1, that whole scenario. And John the Baptist now has grown up in the wilderness, and he said he would be like Elijah. So he was a very interesting type of Elijah, wasn't he?
Yeah, and unlike Elijah, we don't we don't hear of any miracles,
right?
Attested, you know, attested to John, but he was like Elijah in that he preached a strong message of repentance. He preached, he preached against the hypocrisy that he saw.
He sure did,
and he got to see the dove coming down on Jesus.
Woo,
when Jesus
huge.
Was baptized,
and then he was beheaded for who
then he was.
Then
he was beheaded. Yeah. Mm.
So, I mean, amazing, John the Baptist. So we go back to Jesus. We go back to Mary here. We are still in Luke 1. And when Elizabeth begins to prophesy to Mary, I find this fascinating, like you said a minute ago, because she is in tune with the fact that Mary believed God. She is right on mm-hmm. about that sentence in, I think, verse 45 of Luke 1.
Yeah, you're blessed because... because you believe that what the Lord said would really happen, would really be fulfilled.
Exactly. And it, how true is that for our lives individually when we reach out and actually believe that God is telling us the truth mm-hmm. when he tells it? You know, I have this written in my Bible different places. God said it. I believe it. That settles it, you know? And so often we get as far as God said it, and we're done, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, God said it. Maybe I believe it.
That's pretty unsettling.
Maybe I believe it for somebody else, but not for me.
Well, there you go. And, you know, here Mary grabbed it, Elizabeth grabbed it, and eventually Zachariah grabbed it and said, that's for me, mm-hmm. you know.
And we know Joseph grabbed it, too, according to the
oh,
book of Matthew.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, because Joseph, you want to talk about that, his history there, is what should have happened according to custom there?
Well, yeah, with Mary, pretty hard for Jewish people, or anybody, Jewish or Gentile, doesn't really matter, to believe that God would come down and be born of a virgin. I mean, that's just really reaching.
Yeah.
Okay? You know.
Yeah, right.
And under the law, she could be stoned as a prostitute
exactly.
or an adulteress because she was at that point betrothed to Joseph.
Right.
And even though they weren't
engaged,
married.
For some yeah, of you that may not know that name.
They
that
weren't
word.
Married. It's the same thing. It took a divorce
yes.
to get out of this. Even though the ceremony had not been done, it would take a literal divorce to get out of this. So this... the betrothal, that engagement period, was much more binding than
our
than
engagements
ours
are.
Is.
Yeah,
yeah.
ours
I mean,
are
you
like,
were,
ah,
you were,
okay.
You were basically married, except you just couldn't live together till the ceremony had been performed.
Right.
So if she, you know, if she was found to be unclean, to have committed uncleanness by having premarital sex, she could be stoned,
right?
Literally, and. They could take her out, you know, just take her outside the city gates, couple of witnesses, and boom, she's dead. They just
right.
cover her in rocks. And, you know, Joseph knew that.
Right.
I mean, he knew the law. And he didn't want to put her to shame. And, you know, I'm sure she must have told him, well, this, Joseph, guess what? Gabriel appeared to me and said this, and now I'm pregnant.
Yeah, you know that happened.
And,
you think she could keep that secret from him? I
right,
can't imagine. Because she knew she was going to get larger and larger, so I'm sure she right. told him, yeah.
But Gabriel visited him, too,
it,
right?
It says an angel of the
an
Lord.
Angel,
it doesn't
but,
say,
yeah.
I think it was probably Gabriel. He was hanging around a lot.
Well, yeah. Gabriel seemed to be delivering all the messages,
right.
you know, Zachariah and everybody.
And
so probably,
and,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was probably Gabriel in with the shepherds, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, an angel appeared because Joseph was a right. It says Joseph was righteous. He,
yeah.
he was a good man. He knew what he was doing. He didn't want to shame Mary.
Right.
And which I think is that's remarkably merciful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want to shame Mary, so he said, I'll just put her away. I'll just send her off to St. Catherine's School for Girls or something, you know.
What did they do? Do you know what they did in those cases? Or
she would have probably had to move out of the country.
Okay. Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Yeah. Because it was pretty binding that when they were found pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, they still would have, in theory, they would have still had to have gotten the Romans' permission to have stoned her, but they could have done it.
Yeah. Okay. So it actually, this, and here's again God's timing, because the next day Joseph was planning on doing something about this.
Right. And he
in
had,
Matthew 1.
And the angel appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't do it, because, you know, yeah, Mary's pregnant, but it's by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and because he will save his people from their sins.
Yes.
And Joseph, again, like Mary, believed God.
Yes.
Went on and had this, went on and took her as his wife. The betrothal's over. We're going to go and have his, you know, you're going to be my wife now. Make sure that the baby was legitimate.
Right.
And, you know, and scripture says, however, they didn't have sex. They didn't have relations.
Right.
Until after Jesus was born.
Yeah. So he did the honorable thing.
He did incredibly. And I think in that culture, that was incredibly honorable.
Oh, totally.
Because he had every right to, you know, send her a notice of divorce and say, I divorced you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And that would have been the end of it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he could have divorced her. He could have pushed it and had her given the death penalty if
right.
he wanted to.
Sure.
But he chose not to. I mean, you know, the angel appeared to him.
It's
and
amazing.
He obeyed.
It's the obedience. This is the obedience. We have been saying this on this show for the last several weeks because we just did this series on being blessed beyond.
Well,
go ahead.
Think about the obedience in just the Christmas story.
Yes.
Zechariah, initially disobedient, finally obedient. Elizabeth, apparently obedient. Mary, obedient. Joseph, obedient. The shepherds, obedient. The magi, obedient.
Exactly.
King Herod, not so obedient.
There you go. But the obedience right there. And we've quoted the scripture over and over again. If you take notes, you need to write this down and get this scripture down on the inside of you. It's Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And that's where so many of us mess up. And where we don't eat the best of the land. You know, the series we just completed, and you can go to our website and go back over the radio shows of the last 10 weeks. Being blessed beyond is really a product of obedience. That's what it's all about. You know, and the one we quoted a few minutes ago, 2 Chronicles 16:9, that the eyes of the Lord roam around the earth looking for somebody whose heart is completely his. And so the eyes of the Lord, God looked and he said, I see Mary. Ha ha. And she's the perfect one because she knows my word. Be it done to me according to your word. All of it. Go ahead.
Well, and I was thinking this kind of leads back into where we started with the time issue. You know, it was the perfect time.
Right.
You know, for just a ton of reasons. I mean, that was the perfect time because the Romans ruled the known world.
Right.
They built great roads, which made travel easy.
Yes.
There was one language, Greek.
Yes.
That was just the language from one empire, one end of the empire to the other, which made communication for that point in time very easy.
Right.
You know, it was just the perfect time because the world was unified.
Right.
The known world was unified under the Roman Empire, which made spreading the gospel so much easier. And, you know, some people think, well, why didn't Jesus come? Why didn't he die in Rome? Or why did it have to be in Jerusalem? Well, again, going back to the prophecies, every little bit of Jesus' life was prophesied
exactly
beforehand.
Which takes us back to the plan. See, God's plan is what caused all of that to come together. God's plan gave the prophecies to Isaiah and the different ones through, and starting with Abraham, where the promise began.
Adam.
Actually started with Adam, yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in Genesis 3, it's there's the first prophecy there about that he, meaning the Savior, would bruise Satan's heel.
Right.
And would come from a woman, too.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing stuff. So clear back the very beginning. So God's plan has been there in place, on time, on target, all along.
Yeah.
he knew the end of the story.
He knows the end of the story.
Well,
and he knew we were going to fail.
Right.
He knew Adam and Eve were going to sin.
Yeah, that
right.
never took
and
him by surprise.
And he already had this plan. Yeah. He had all this plan.
He never took it because he knew.
This was our second chance.
Yeah, I mean, he knew we're human, and he knew that we would, that humankind would mess up.
Well, and it's like, think of one of the titles of Jesus in Revelation, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, Jesus was historically slain
right
on Calvary in probably 30, 33 AD, but yet the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, that
explain
was the Father's
plan. Explain that to our
plan.
Listeners.
That was the Father's plan, that a sacrifice be made.
Yes.
From when the foundations of this world were laid.
Right.
God already knew, like Connie said, we were going to sin, Adam and Eve were going to sin, that a Savior would need to come. And that's why right. I think right after they sinned, that's why you have the first prophecy about a coming Savior.
Yes.
And then all
in Genesis,
through,
yeah.
Yeah, all yeah. through the rest of the Bible, the rest of the, under the Old Testament, all the prophecies that were given that pinpointed who the Savior was going to be. And yet, because God knew.
Right.
Jesus knew. This didn't take it. They didn't
say no surprises.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, they sinned. What are we going to do now? You know, there was. Calvary wasn't plan B. That was God's plan all along.
It was not, oh, they messed up, so now
what
we got to
do.
It's not like that.
Right.
And that is so huge to me, that this whole story that we celebrate every year, this whole thing that we do, it was God's original plan mm-hmm. from the beginning of, well, beginning of time. I mean, there is no, you know, boy, I can't wrap my hand around nothing has a beginning, nothing has an end. I can't wrap my head around that, you know. But just the same, amazing that this was God's plan.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what a wonderful segue into our next song.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Jim, by Down Here. I love it. How many kings?
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected a child in a manger? Lonely and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited? Torn all apart.
by the group Down Here. How many kids? Only one. Only one, King. Praise God. Woo! You're listening to Living the Good Life. You can email us now. We've got Pastor Jim's got internet up right now. You can email pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Come right in here if you have a comment, a question, or if you just want to say Merry Christmas, whatever. Anyway, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That's us. And if you ever want to talk to Pastor Jim or I online, we are available to any of you. Again, my email address is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Pastor Jim's is pastor Jim at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yeah, that's really pretty difficult to remember.
It is hard to remember.
Maxine.
Yeah, isn't it great to have it that way?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you know, here we are talking about this wonderful, wonderful season of the year, and the fact that God loved us so much, Connie, that He sent His Son to this earth. You know, I mean, I think of John 3:16, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Nan. For God so loved the world, He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody.
Well, are you sure He didn't just say, you know, look at those rotten sinners down there. When, you know, just I'm going to give it up on them. You know, because so many times people think that God's sitting up there with a big ball bat.
Right.
Waiting to knock us in the head and tell us how bad we are.
Right.
And instead, He keeps giving us 957,000 million.
Fresh starts all
fresh
the time.
Fresh starts.
Which is why we should give others those very same things.
Yeah. Well, that's, when, you know, I just think where Peter said, oh, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Mm-hmm. Up to seven times? I mean, Peter thought he was being magnanimous. By
gracious.
Saying, oh, I thought he was just being, oh, I'm so merciful. Look at me. I'm willing to forgive somebody seven times.
Seven
for sinning
times.
Against me.
Right.
Breaking
yeah.
his arm, patting himself
right.
on the
and
back.
Jesus said, I don't think so. 70 times seven.
Which took the wind out of his
go ahead.
490 times at the very least.
And in the original Greek, I believe it means so
it's just
per day.
Yeah. It's like you just don't stop. Forgiving.
You can't stop. You can't stop. It's a, you know. Ad infinitum or whatever, however you say mm-hmm. that, because we have to walk in that kind of forgiveness. God loves us so much that He sent His Son and He arranged all the details clear down from the very beginning. He arranged all these details. His plan was the perfect plan and mm-hmm. His timing was the perfect timing. He had to send, you know, the culture had to be exactly the right time in history, don't you think? I mean, when you talk about dying on a cross, that's mm-hmm. not something that happens now in our society.
Right. No, somebody would be in trouble if they were.
Exactly.
If they'd put up a cross somewhere.
Exactly. You know, but I mean, the timing, again, God's timing is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
He knew when to do it. He sees the end of the parade, remember?
He sees the end of the parade. Praise
He's lucky
God.
Enough to see the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Right.
He does, doesn't he? And so here he has in history, he comes and he says, all right, there's the family. There's the family I'm going to use because he promised that the child, the Messiah, would come through the line of Abraham. So how many years, Pastor Jim, if you go backwards to Abraham from the time of Jesus' birth, what? How many years roughly are we?
Oh, we're talking about 1,800.
Okay. So we, 1,800 years. Okay, so here comes Abraham in history. God says, again, I'm giving you the promise. It's going to happen through your line. And then it just progresses.
Right.
Go ahead.
Because, he promises the same thing to Isaac.
Yes.
The same thing to Jacob.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, by then, the Israelites are in slavery. He raises up Moses. But even in the books of the law, there's, there's the promises. You know, there's prophecies in Numbers about the star in Jacob. So, you know, about the star rising out of Jacob.
Exactly.
And, you know, that was a messianic prophecy.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And then, of course,
The line of Judah. Right.
Then you get into the other the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel,
right?
Micah, Hosea.
Well, Micah, was it Micah 5:2 that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem?
Right.
And so it was
not
specific.
Not only did they pinpoint the time, especially through Daniel.
Yes.
They pinpointed the birthplace through Micah. They basically pinpointed the manner of birth through Isaiah. You know, how incredible.
Well, the Isaiah scriptures I love. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin will conceive or will give birth. Let's go there. Let's go to Isaiah 7:14 a minute. And thank you, Connie, for being on the air. She has a commitment she has to go to. So we bless her as she goes. So Pastor Jim and I are just going to be here. Isaiah 7:14, I'm in my NIV, and it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Boy, you can really preach that one verse, mm-hmm. can't you?
Yes, you can.
Woo! Talk to me, Pastor Jim.
Well, I think it's great. In fact, in our little book of remembrances, I wrote down a couple of Advent sort of things, and this is one of the things I wrote something about. It's actually hilarious to me because here's King Ahaz who offered one of his sons in the fire on an idol.
Right. That's the setting for Isaiah chapter 7.
That's the setting for Isaiah chapter 7. And, you know, Judah was about to be attacked by Assyria and Israel. You know, the northern kingdoms were going to attack. And Ahaz suddenly got religion, got pretty upset.
Convenient, huh?
He got it conveniently. And, you know, Isaiah made the promise, okay, don't worry about it. They're not even going to try and attack. The Lord says, I'm going to keep them from attacking. And by the way, ask for a sign. Just go ahead and ask for a sign so that you'll know this is going to happen. And Ahaz, and it's just such hypocritical false humility. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dare test the Lord like that. And Isaiah puts him right in his place and says, what? You're an idolater and you wouldn't test the Lord? And he says, okay, then the Lord's going to give you a sign.
Right.
You know, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel. And the word there in Hebrew for virgin is Alma. And it can mean virgin.
Yeah.
It can mean young woman of marriageable age.
Okay.
So there's a double meaning to the prophecy because it was fulfilled in Isaiah's time as the young woman.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's
great.
Because
it goes on to say, you know, he'll be eating milk and honey.
Interesting.
And, there's some historical stuff here. But before he knows how to choose good or reject evil, the lands of the two kings you fear will be empty. Mm-hmm. So there was a historical setting. So apparently, possibly Isaiah's wife bore a son who was named this. And before that child was three, before the child was weaned, then those two kings were gone.
Yeah.
And it's like prophecy has those mountaintops.
Yes, it does.
It has the near fulfillment and the far fulfillment. Well, the near fulfillment.
Explain that because some people may not have ever heard that, and that is so true about prophecy.
And this is, I think, one of the best examples of that in the Bible.
Yes.
Prophecy can be fulfilled near, very soon, and then also have a remote fulfillment. This is a really good example. It was fulfilled in Isaiah's time, but it was also a prophecy concerning the Messiah. So it's like I kind of look at the prophet standing on one mountain and seeing two other mountaintops.
Right.
You know, the near one and the far one.
Yeah.
And the near one is what happened, in Isaiah's time. The far one would have been the actual birth of Jesus.
Yes.
And a lot of prophecies are kind of built along those lines, especially if you read in the prophets, it talks a lot about the destruction of the nation of Israel.
Right.
And then the destruction of Israel's enemies. Well, those both had near-time fulfillments when, of course, Judah was taken into captivity by Babylon. But then Babylon turns around and is conquered by the Persians.
Right.
So there was a fulfillment against the enemies. And yet there's that long-range kind of eternal when Jesus comes back fulfillment.
Right.
When at long last, Israel's enemies will be finally destroyed.
That is fascinating. And don't you see God's seeing all of it, all of our eternity, and seeing what he's going to do? It's, again, it's all about his timing. It's
right.
Perfect.
Well, and, you said it last week, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, when the time was fully right.
I love Galatians 4:4.
And then there's a, and I actually looked it up today, there's a verse in Revelation when the sixth trumpet is blown, and that huge army comes out of the of the east, and it says, you know, the spirits were there by the Euphrates, Babylon again,
right?
But you know, waiting for the year, the month, and the day.
Right.
God has this thing all timed down.
Waiting for
perfectly.
The year, the month, and the day.
You know, again, it's not.
Wow.
You know, I just think it's funny because they may think they're getting away with something.
Sure.
But God's got him on a string.
He always does. You know, and he's
God's
got that
control.
Plan. Well, you know, Jeremiah 29:11-14, quoted that
I
so many times.
I know the plans I have for
I know
you.
The plans. You know, I know the plans. He knows the plans. It's like he's looking us in the eye going, I know what's best for you. I know the plans I have for you. And I am going to bring it about, you know, in my time. And God's timing is perfect timing. And it's the best time. Praise God. Praise God. So we're excited about these prophecies fulfilled. We're excited about what God is doing and where he's taking each of us in our individual lives because he has the perfect plan. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bless you. Plans to bring you into hope and do all the things that you need done. You know, it's amazing that God loves us that much, Pastor Jim, that he can keep track of all of us. You know, isn't that amazing?
Very amazing.
Right. He doesn't even have GPS locators on us, you know?
He is a GPS locator.
There you go. You know, because, I mean, he knows. He knows Engineer Bill, you know, where he is, what he's doing. Just amazing, Bill, that God loves us this much, you know?
I know he does. I mean, though it's hard to fathom that, you know, why other serious tragic things happen, why,
right,
whatever, tens of thousand people are going to die,
right, sure,
on a certain day, why can't he stop that?
Right.
That's what is always in your mind, right?
Right, sure.
Everybody thinks that, right?
Right.
But it's you wonder, hey, can I make a call now, or?
But you know, what bottom line is his great love for us. It's great. Yeah, we live in a world with natural disasters. We live in a world that things happen, you know, things that we wish didn't happen. We look and say, wow, why did that happen? And a lot of times we may not know why something happened until we get to eternity.
Yeah, I was gonna say, at least maybe this side of the,
right,
of the veil.
In our limited intelligence.
And it may be that the reason is so complicated, or who knows?
Right.
That we just couldn't grasp.
He so
anyway.
Sees the big picture of our lives, you know, and he so looks at all that and says, I'm okay, I'm going to do this and this and this. But again, it comes down to obedience here,
right,
because, I mean, he knew the heart of Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth and Zachariah and knew that there would be this falling in line with his plan, which I love it. Woo, that's mighty. We're going to come back and talk more about this. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5 K233BF, Little Rock.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right. It's a good day here at Living the Good Life. From Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Jim is with me, and we've been really talking about this wonderful Christmas message and this wonderful time of sharing God's goodness to us, you know? We welcome you all to get involved with our ministry, even if you're in out of state or out of country. And, I mean, that happens, too. When people have prayer requests, Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that a minute, the prayer request?
Sure. We have a prayer line that you can send in your request at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we have a team of people who will take the prayer, usually take the request and then write up a prayer to go with it and send it out to our prayer team,
right,
which is scattered all across the country. And so
right.
you have this group of people that will pray for you. about your concern, pray with you. They'll intercede for you.
Right.
And we have seen some mighty miracles.
Oh, huge miracles. You know? I mean, amazing things. This year, 2011, was huge. I mean, last year was too, but we've seen so many requests come in. Hundreds and hundreds, and the prayer team banding together and agreeing in prayer for these needs and believing God for the miracles and the answers.
We've seen financial miracles. We've seen miracles of healing, restorations. I mean, it's
huge.
It's been incredible.
You know, just so many changes going on in people's lives because of prayer,
right,
because of reaching out and believe. And, you know, you and I are going to teach this next year. We're going to do more on prayer and intercession, and we're going to get in there and really teach people how to pray and believe and the importance of it, because it's critical, you know, to our lives.
Well, it is. You know, and there's a place in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 59, God was amazed. There wasn't anybody to intercede.
Right.
You know, he just looked around and he said, wait a minute, there's nobody here to intercede for the sinners, for the backsliders.
Good point. He is calling people to be on the front line.
Right.
You know, again, it's God's timing, but the way God has set it up is that he asks that we pray.
Right.
It's not like, whatever happens, que sera, sera, you know? It's not like that, you know? We can change situations and people by intercession and prayer. And I got to think that with this wonderful story we're talking about today with Mary and Elizabeth and Zachariah and Joseph, these four people were so foundational to where we are right now in history because of their obedience and because they had a relationship with God.
Right.
All four of them had a relationship with God. You know, and our prayer ministry is about that. It's about increasing your faith. It's about giving you an opportunity to reach out with a prayer request and believe that God is going to answer your prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so important because, I mean, and we talk about the praise reports. And,
yes.
You know, it's incredible the way we see God move.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've basically about all my Christian life, I've been in churches that believe that God would work miracles.
Right.
And yet you still stand in awe when they really happen, you know, when they do happen, you know.
Amen and amen. And when he provides for us and when he just steps in and works in our hearts in such a miraculous, wonderful way. You know, our prayer for you all listening audience is that this time of year not just be about the family dinners and the presents under the tree. Because the presents are representative of God's great gift to us.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about the tie or the pair of socks. It's all about God's gift to us at this season. You know, we've heard it, the cliche, that's the little phrase for years and years, Jesus is the reason for the season. But I think it's harder for people to really grasp that than maybe it should be, you know?
Right. Right, and yeah, I think sometimes that does just become such a cliche or a rallying call to,
right,
to, you know, get all upset if people, somebody says happy holidays. But it's like, you know, it has to start within each one of us.
Yes.
You know, I can't force, say, JCPenney to stop saying happy holidays, but I can live Christmas in my heart,
right,
so that it shows out, so that, yeah, who knows, maybe a clerk will be ministered to and they'll move on up the line, and who knows, the head of that set of some great corporation may be touched because of your kindness,
right,
10, 20 people down the line from that particular person.
Huge.
You know, we just need to remember that, to keep, well, as you know, as Charles Dickens wrote about Scrooge, keep Christmas in our heart every day of the year.
Absolutely. It's what it's all about. Listen to this song, Hope Was Born This Night, by the Sidewalk Prophets.
Star shine and its splendor fills up the sky, It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace, because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing the chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I can hear the Christmas bells ring as softly church choirs sing. It's the song used to praise the Ancient of Days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night.
Praise God. All right. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. We're going to continue talking here on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. We're going to continue talking a little bit, Pastor Jim, about the prophecies. Because this, to me, when I got a hold of this truth so many years ago, I don't even remember when, it was foundational to my faith increasing exponentially. Because I suddenly realized, and I grew up hearing the Christmas story all my life. I was a pastor's kid and a missionary's kid. I don't remember ever hearing about the prophecies fulfilled till way on down the line in my life. Do you know what I'm saying? I never heard it preached. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but I didn't hear it preached until clear up till I had to be in my 30s when I started pastoring that I started understanding all that.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I grew up in a denominational church, and even after I got saved, that's when I found out, because I was reading books and stuff. But I mean, I know in my church it just wasn't preached, and yet you look at the sermons in the book of Acts.
Right.
These are the prophecies.
Right.
Jesus fulfilled them.
Right.
He's coming back. You better get saved. I mean,
absolutely, because
Paul,
those guys understood it, didn't they?
Right, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Yes, I love that. Yes.
It's all according to the scriptures, all according to the prophecies, Jesus' birth,
right,
life, death, resurrection, and second coming are all prophesied.
Totally.
In the scriptures, completely.
Yes. And so here we have this amazing, amazing event with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming to earth, being born as a baby, being born of a virgin. We just went through, if you're just now joining us, we just went through Isaiah 7:14, where Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before it happened, actually, the birth of of Jesus being born from a virgin. And we're going to go to Isaiah 9 because I so love the scripture. I touched on it this morning at Beacon of Hope, but I want to amplify on it more, Pastor Jim, because again, just in the same time period that Isaiah is writing about that this child will be born of a virgin, then God gets more specific with the prophet Isaiah. Again, 700 to 800 years before right, Jesus came. Right. You know, go ahead.
And as soon as you said Isaiah chapter 9, I'm hearing that song from the Messiah running through my head.
Which one?
For unto us child is born. Because I know that's where you're going.
Yes. So. Absolutely. You know, can you tell us any more right here about Isaiah 9 or anything that could help us understand this, better?
Yeah, this was a pretty tumultuous time in the history of Judah. Because it was just before or right at the time of the fall of the northern kingdom. So Assyria, the nation of Assyria was a big threat. And pretty much Judah had fallen into idolatry under King Ahaz.
Right.
They started to pull themselves out of it under Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, who, you know, did start a revival. But, you know, this prophecy happened just before then,
right?
Just before Hezekiah became king. And, you know, he said, a child has been born for us. A son has been given to us.
Right.
And the government will be on his shoulders. Not these faulty kings.
Right. We're in Isaiah 9, starting with verse 6.
You know, the government will be will be on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And his name will be called, and I like what this Bible says.
Which one are you in?
Well, I have the Expanded Bible.
Okay.
Wonderful Counselor, or Wonderful Counselor, or Extraordinary Advisor.
Extraordinary Advisor. I love that. Yeah, you know, that's great.
You know, and Powerful, or Almighty God.
Almighty God.
You know, and it's funny. I was thinking that's El Gibor.
Okay.
And take the L and put it behind the Gibor, and you get Gibor L.
Okay.
Gabriel, mighty man
Gabriel.
Of God.
Oh, wow. Oh,
El
wow.
Gibor, that's what it is in Hebrew, the God Almighty.
Oh, that's great.
God, the mighty God, the mighty,
yes.
You know.
Praise God.
So, and here we have, you know, Wonderful Counselor. I love that because it's not, you know, you think it's two words, and it's, if you look at the rest of this verse, those two go together. He's a wonderful counselor.
Right.
And I like, that's why I like this, Extraordinary Advisor. Who better to go to than God Almighty when you got a question about what you need to do?
Extraordinary Advisor. Woo, that's good stuff.
You know,
stuff.
Who better to go to but the Lord?
Right.
And, you know, Mighty God, Father who lives forever, Eternal Father. And I kind of,
amazing.
Father of time. You know, this child was going to be called the Father of Time. So,
exactly.
You know, it's like Jesus, beginning and end.
Alpha and the Omega.
Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Mm.
The Father, the Creator, the originator of time. Prince of Peace. And, you know, so often we think of peace.
Right.
But that's not the whole story. I mean, the Hebrew word there, and everybody's heard the word, is shalom.
Mm-hmm.
And it means so much more than peace. It wholeness.
It means wholeness.
Wholeness. So this is, he's the Prince of Wholeness.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because God really was working this morning. And I had a word for one of our folks.
Yes, you did.
And I used, God brought this to mind that this particular person needed to see Jesus as their Prince of Wholeness.
Amen.
As the one who knits them back together and
praise
makes them whole.
Praise God, yes.
And these are the names that this child was going to have.
Right.
And he says, you know.
And this child, by the way, everybody out there, is Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there will be no end to the growth or the increase of his rule, of his government.
Yes.
Nor to the peace, the wholeness he will bring.
Right.
Now think about that. There's no end to the wholeness he's going to bring.
Wow.
He'll rule as king on David's throne and over David's kingdom. Wow. Okay.
Establishing and upholding it, all of the zeal of the Lord of God will accomplish this. Mm-hmm. In other words, God's got a plan. he's going to do it. He's going to send his son to this earth and being born in a manger, all of those things. And when we were talking a few minutes ago about all of these prophecies, Pastor Jim, God got very specific that this child would be born in Bethlehem. He would come through the line of Abraham and David and so forth, Judah, tribe of Judah. All of these are specific things. These are not just saying someday I might send my son.
Yeah, think of it. All the people in the world, Abraham.
Right.
All of Abraham's descendants, Isaac.
Right.
All of Isaac's descendants, Jacob.
Right.
All of Jacob's descendants, Judah.
Right.
All of Judah's descendants, David.
Right.
You know, how amazing is that? I mean, God just narrowed it down so
all
much.
All the time. And then Mary and Joseph, you know, because both of them were in the line of David.
Right. Mary through Nathan, David's son Nathan, and of course Joseph through Solomon.
Through Solomon.
Joseph was through the kingly line.
Right. And so Joseph was actually his stepfather, but it's so cool to me that God set this up because when the census happened in Luke 2, which we can touch on that, in Luke 2, chapter 1, and they're going down to, they had to go to Bethlehem because...
That's where Joseph's family was from. That's where the family of David was from. So they kind of got hit on both sides. You know, that there was they had to go there to register.
Right.
And there again, another prophecy, Micah 5:2, be born in Bethlehem. His days were from eternity.
Right.
So we're not talking, okay, you know, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you're little among the clans of Judah, out of you was going to come one who's going to shepherd us, whose days are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So, you know, that was...
It's amazing.
Amazing. So, the parentage, the lineage, the place of birth. We talked earlier about Daniel, the timing of the Messiah, when the Messiah had to come.
You know, when we were just doing the series, Being Blessed Beyond, and we were talking about Joseph and we were talking about Jacob and how much Jacob had three or four wives, actually. Well, he had two wives and concubines. But the one he loved, the love of his life was Rachel. And Rachel was Joseph's mother, right?
Right.
And so Rachel died prematurely, really. She died in childbirth with the birth of Benjamin. And do you remember that she was buried right at Bethlehem? I find that, I mean, again, I find all of this so fascinating, Pastor Jim, that there it was her time to go, obviously, for whatever reason. And there she was, and they bury her at Bethlehem, and it's in her line. Amazing.
Well, and think, too.
Amazing.
Bethlehem itself means house of bread.
House of bread, yes.
You know? And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life.
Right. Yes.
You know, how amazing is all this? I mean,
it just
boggles the mind. I mean, there's even some verses in Isaiah that very possibly refer to the wise men.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll bring you gifts of gold and frankincense.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And we haven't even gotten to them. Maybe we'll get to them next week. I don't know. But, okay, so Isaiah 9, 6 to 7 is fascinating. Y'all need to mark it in your Bible because, again, it is the prophetic word about that the child would be born and would be called these things that we call him. We call him Wonderful Counselor.
Right.
You know, we call him Prince of Peace, Wholeness. We call him Eternal Father. We call him Mighty God. Woo! All of that. You know, and I think, Pastor Jim, we need to talk about how this really impacts our lives spiritually on a daily basis. Why are you and I sitting here dialoguing about these prophecies that happened hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years now ago? Why are we talking about this?
Because they're prophecies, but they were fulfilled in Jesus.
Yes.
And I believe that, and because of that, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And that his blood has cleansed me from my sins, and that he's resurrected, and someday I'm going to be resurrected right along, you know.
Amen. So he's a truth-telling God.
He's a truth-telling God.
He's a God that when he tells you something, expects you to sit up, pay attention, and say, yes, sir, and go with it. I mean, he really expects us to believe him, Pastor Jim.
Right.
He didn't put all these prophecies through the Word for no reason, just right. like accidentally, oops.
Well, like you said, when you did a series a long time ago on prophecies,
yeah,
God told us. Then he showed us. Then he told us that he showed us.
That's exactly right. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
he did.
You know, he told us beforehand so that we could know who the Messiah was.
Yes.
And so it wouldn't take us by surprise. And so that we could see that, you know, and I talked in early on in the series that I'm doing now, Bible study, it's, I forget what, one in four, one in 100 quadrillion chances that even just... 8 of those prophecies about Jesus could be fulfilled in one single human being. Well, that's more, that's many times over more people than have ever been born, you know, and that's just 8 of the prophecies.
Amazing. That, the chances of that. Oh, my heavens. Listen to this new song. I haven't heard it from a group called Pocket Full of Rocks, but this song is Come As You Are.
He's not mad at you. And he's not disappointed. His grace is greater still than all of your wrong choices. He is full of mercy, and he is ever kind. Here is invitation. His arms are open.
You are with all your broken pieces.
Shameful scars.
Yes.
The pain you hold in your heart. You bring it all to Jesus. You can come.
Praise God. You can come as you are. Bring it all to Jesus. Your scars all about you. You know, it's so important that we realize that God has a plan for each of our lives. We can come to him mm-hmm. just as we are, with our scars, with our brokenness, with our places where we need the Prince of Wholeness, peace, to come. and make us whole, Pastor Jim.
Otherwise, why would he have been called that?
Right.
You know, if...
He heals the brokenhearted. You go back to Isaiah 61, which our ministry, Beacon of Hope, is founded on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the sick, to heal
bind
the brokenhearted,
broken
to bind them up. And that's Jesus. He's Prince of Peace. He's Prince of Wholeness. If you out there right now are in distress in your life and you're burdened down, perhaps by your past or by past abuse or things that have happened to you or things you just don't understand. Why is this happening? Or why, God, you know, where does all this fit in my life? And this song says, come as you are, mm-hmm. you know, with your questions, with your, and we've been talking about Joseph and Mary and all of them. And God didn't say, well, I'm going to send you to Bible school here, Joseph, for a few years, or Mary, or, you know,
Would have been too late then.
Seriously.
Jesus would have been two.
I mean, it's God's plan, come as you are, so he can use us. You want to amplify?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, God looks at us and it can be scary, and sometimes it is, but it's also such a comfort. I mentioned earlier to you about Psalm 139.
Yes.
Even before words out of my mouth, you know it all together. Such knowledge is beyond me. It's too wonderful.
I love Psalm 139.
And where can I go to flee from your spirit?
Right.
If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, the grave, you're there.
Right.
If I go as far as I can, you're still there.
You're still there.
Your hand is going to guide me.
Right.
You know, God knows. I love, I think it's King James. You know, my upsitting, or my downsitting and my uprising.
You know, my God, downsitting and my uprising.
You know, God knows everything about us.
That's right.
And amazingly, he still loves us. And he wants to put us back together.
And he loves us so much, Pastor Jim.
Right.
I think that one of the purposes of this radio show is to spread God's love
right.
as far as we can, to get that message out there that this good news is for each one of us. We don't have to, quote unquote, measure up.
Well,
you know,
we can't.
We can't.
None of us can measure up.
No, we're not perfect. We're...
Well, and, you know...
We're human.
We're human. We have sinned. And because of that, there's this huge gulf between us and God.
Exactly.
And the only thing that can bridge that is the cross.
Amen. Which means if the cross is what bridges it, the birth of Jesus had to happen.
Exactly.
He had to come to this earth. He had to be born in the manger. He had to fulfill those prophecies, right. every one of them. And, you know, he knew these prophecies. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he knew these things. And I find it fascinating that Mary knew. I mean, because Mary says here at the end of verse, where am I? 55 of Luke 1. When Mary is, and maybe you want to amplify a little bit on her whole statement here. We call it the Magnificat. Do you want to explain why we call it that? In about verse, what is it? Starts in 46 down to 55 of Luke 1. The statement that Mary makes, her
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and it starts out, you know, it's called the Magnificat because that's the first word in Latin.
Yes.
You know, and my soul praises, my soul exalts, glorifies, magnifies the Lord. That phrase right there is reminiscent of Hannah
right.
in the Old Testament.
Oh, yes.
When she was giving thanks for the birth of Samuel.
Right.
She was pregnant finally again.
Right.
There was a lady who tried to get pregnant for a long time and didn't work. She prayed, God answered her prayers, and she gave birth to Samuel. You know, she says, my soul praises the Lord, my soul, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Mm.
So, you know, we think, well, of course she could sing that. She was given birth to the Messiah. Yeah, but you know what? Let me look at this. To God, my Savior. She acknowledged she
acknowledges.
Needed a Savior, too.
She needed a Savior.
And
amen.
Yeah, Mary gave birth to the physical Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we, too, have Jesus living within us if we believe.
Amen.
So the Magnificat becomes our song.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
Because we have Jesus inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he shows his concern for his humble servant girl. or he's noticed he's looked favorably upon his lowly servant girl. You know, he's looked favorably upon us. You know, it's not like he snubs us.
Right.
He looks favorably upon us.
Yes.
For look now, you know, from now on, all people will say that I'm blessed. And we talked about that earlier in this show, that we're blessed because we believe that what God said is going to happen.
Absolutely.
And then she goes on to say, because the powerful, the mighty one has done great things for me. Mm-hmm. Holy is his name. You know, he that is mighty has done great things.
Amen.
And holy is his name.
Amen.
I got to say that again. He that is mighty has done great things, and
Amen.
Holy is his name.
Woo.
That's just such a wonder. I love that phrase. I mean, I just love that scripture. He that is mighty, not he that is a weakling, but mighty God, one of the titles of Messiah.
One of his names.
Mighty God has done wonderful things for me, and
yes.
Holy
yes.
is his name. You know, and God does wonderful things
right.
for us. He does. I mean, the most wonderful, of course, is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Fills us with the Holy Spirit, gives us spiritual gifts,
right.
blesses us, prospers us, gives us the Word.
Yes,
it's just amazing the things that God does.
Amen.
And God will show His mercy forever and ever.
I love the fact that Mary gets into His nature of His mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she understood this. She's a teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know, with probably very little education, but she's had the scriptural education.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that the nature of God, it must have been taught in their family, you know?
Yeah, because I don't think she would have gone to school. Seriously.
No, she would not
have
gone to school. So she is sitting here talking about God's mercy and understands how vital that is, and that everybody needs to hear this.
Right.
And this becomes her declaration. Go ahead.
Well, God will show his mercy. You know, his mercy is continuous forever and ever to generate from generation to generation to those who worship and serve or fear and reverence him.
Right.
Okay, so God shows his mercy to those who reverence him.
Yes.
You know, a new every morning. I love that. You know, here
Lamentations
again.
3. I love here that passage.
Go. Here
yes.
we go. You know, it's his mercy just is
yes.
everlasting.
Yes.
And as long as we receive it,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, yeah, it's everlasting, but it does us no good, of course, unless we receive it. We
right.
accept that it's everlasting. And then he says, he's done mighty deeds by his power.
Mm.
He scattered the people who are proud, who think great things about themselves.
Isn't this interesting that a teenage girl has this
That's
kind of insight?
Yeah, because one of the other alternate translations here is who think great things about themselves or in the schemes they devise.
Message.
Scatters the proud in the schemes that they devise.
Isn't that interesting? In the message, it says, he bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. And he knocked tyrants off of their high horses, and he pulled victims out of the mud. I love that. I mean, she's talking about God's nature. You mm-hmm. want to amplify
it? Yeah, he's brought down rulers from their thrones, and he's raised up or exalted the humble.
Yes.
You know, it's like Mary saying what God does is turn the world upside down, basically.
That's
because
so
here,
true.
You know, here he's, the you know, there's one, and it's actually in a song by John Michael Talbert. He scattered the proud in their own conceits. You know, I love that because the proud in their own conceitedness, he just scattered them.
Right.
He's brought the rulers down, and yet he raises up the humble. And who are the humble? Those who tremble at his word, God says in Isaiah. This is the one who's humble, who trembles at my
yes,
word.
Yes, amen.
Who, like Mary, be it done to me according
Ooh.
I'm getting blessed. Be it done
Come
to
on,
me according to
it.
Your word.
Mm-mm.
You know, those are the people that tremble at God's word.
Yes.
And, you know, God gives us a word we can say, be it done to me according to your word. Let
yes.
Let it be done to me.
Right.
According to what God you've said in your word. Mm. I'm gonna believe it. I'm gonna act like this is the truth.
Right. God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
And that's where we have to get. And Mary was already here. It didn't take her years to come to this place. She was there.
She was here. Yeah. And it says, you know, he filled up the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away with nothing. He's helped out his servant, the people of Israel.
Right.
Remembering to show them or being mindful of his mercy as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. So she knew. She knew Genesis 12.
Exactly. She brings it right in here.
Genesis 15, Genesis 17. She knew the promises given to Abraham.
Yes.
And, you know, she says, he's helped his servant.
Right.
And he's been mindful. He remembers his mercy. He remembers his promises. God doesn't forget. And sometimes I think we think God forgets.
Right.
Because going back to the very beginning of the show, we think his timing is not, you know.
Yes, we think he has forgotten about us somewhere. Well, he's just, he's golf doing, helping other people, and he's not, you know, paying attention to me.
Right. Well, and, you know, we think, you know, he's too busy or whatever. But that's not true. He's still there. He's listening. Amen. He's, you know, his timing is perfect. And we're the ones who get impatient.
Oh, we do.
And there's a story in one of Corrie ten Boom's books. She talks about how God looks at our lives and how we look at our lives. We're kind of like the underside of a tapestry.
Yes.
Which is full of knots and threads, and nothing looks very good. I mean, it's all kind of knotty, and pieces have been, you know, threads hanging down and all that stuff. That's sometimes what we see as the mess.
Right.
God sees the other side, which is the completed, perfect, you know, tapestry of our lives.
So true.
And, you know, God knows the underside's there. He's not dumb, but he's able to see the whole picture.
He sees both sides of the tapestry.
Sometimes we tend to get bogged down with the one.
We do. And I love that because, you know, in Galatians 4:4 that you quoted a moment ago, in the fullness of time, you know, God sent his son, born of a virgin. I love that, what Paul says there. Actually, let's just run there a minute, because I think, and we can keep our finger in Luke 1, but I think it's so interesting because when you understand that Paul and the disciples understood this whole picture. They saw it all. They didn't have to wonder why Jesus came on the scene when he did, because it says in Galatians 4:4, but when the time arrived, and that's in the Message Bible. I think in the NIV it says when the fullness of time arrived. Is that right?
Yeah, this says when.
Go ahead and read down through 7.
This says, but when the right, appropriate, or appointed, or literally the fullness of time had come, God sent his son who was born of a woman and lived under the law. God did this so that he could buy freedom or redeem those who were under the law, and so we could become his children or receive adoption as heirs. Since you are God's children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father.
Daddy.
So Papa. You are no longer, it's a term of intimacy. It's
right.
Not,
yes.
It's not, ooh, Father. It's Father.
Daddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And because you are his child, God will give you the blessings he promised.
I'm going to read this part in the Message Bible. I'm going to read the whole thing in the Message Bible because I think it's just fascinating here. When the time arrived that was set by God the Father, okay? God set the time.
Mm-hmm.
Set by God the Father. God sent his son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Isn't that interesting? Thus, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. Whoa. Wow. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Whoa, that's good stuff.
That's good stuff. And that's so, I mean, just think about it, because God gives us the Holy Spirit and we can cry, Papa, Daddy.
Yes.
And we're no longer slaves.
Right.
You know, he's freed us from everything we were in slavery to, the law, the devil, the flesh, all that we've been freed from. And now we're sons and daughters. Yes. We're children. We've been adopted. And we have full inheritance rights.
All because God had a plan.
Right.
Let's go back to Luke 1. God had a plan, and he fulfilled the plan. He didn't get sidetracked or distracted like some of us do. He was simply on schedule all the time. Okay? All the time. Perfect timing. On schedule all the time. We're the ones that we procrastinate, we get off schedule, we get this, we get that, we get messed up. God is not like that at all.
Right. And I think a good way to look at it is those verses in 2 Peter about, God's not slow about his promises. Yeah, Jesus is going to come back. Peter was specifically referencing that. And he said, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day.
Right.
And it hit me once, and I believe it was, revelation from God, that God is above, I don't want to say beyond time, but kind of above, outside of time.
Right.
God's not bound
by time. He's not bound by time. I like that. Yes.
We're bound by time.
Right.
God's not.
Mm-hmm.
He can see the end from the beginning.
Right.
We can't, because he's already been there. He's already been to the beginning. He's already been to the end.
We can't comprehend that.
Right. But that's just cool.
It is cool.
And that's comforting. I mean, think about it. That's such a comfort. I don't have to worry about the future.
Right.
Because God's already been there.
Exactly.
He's already been there. Mm. So it's in his hands.
So in the whole space and the continuum of time, God said, there's going to be a perfect time when I'm going to send my son to this earth. And it was a blessed, holy night.
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Praise God. I love that song, A Holy Night.
And wow. What a great version of it.
Oh, that was beautiful, by Point of Grace. The birth of John in Luke 1, verse 37. Elizabeth was full time in the pregnancy. We talked about it a minute ago. She did bear a son. Zachariah's his mouth was finally opened, and he was able to speak. And says, yes, his name is John. And let's start. Pastor Jim, would you amplify on what you were just thinking? I could tell your wheels were turning. In verse 67 of Zechariah, what happened when that happened?
Well, the first
Luke
words
1.
Out of Zechariah's mouth were, his name shall be John.
Yes, exactly.
And then the second words were, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. I mean, God is so gracious. He opens up Zechariah's mouth.
Yes.
You know, Zechariah gets his speech and apparently also his hearing back.
Right. Everything. And he was healed instantly.
And he gets filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
And then Zechariah, John's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
And he prophesied.
How gracious is God?
Oh,
here's the man
cool.
who didn't believe that John would be born.
Right.
And like we talked about earlier, I do believe that in those times of his deafness and his muteness, he spent a lot of time talking to God on the inside. Got a lot of stuff worked out. Because once he said, you know what? Yes, his name shall be John. The Holy Spirit fell upon Zechariah. He prophesied.
Amazing.
You know, what's known as the Benedictus is what the Latin name for this is.
Go ahead with it. Go ahead.
Well, and then Zechariah, John's father, filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. And talk about somebody who also knew the prophecies here. Because he has come to help his people and has given them freedom. He's given us a powerful Savior.
Amen.
Okay. From the family of God's servant David. He said he would do this through the mouth of his holy prophets who lived long ago. He promised he'd save us from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us.
Right.
He said he would give mercy to our ancestors.
He said he would. Yes, he did.
And that he would remember his holy promise.
Amen.
God promised Abraham, our father, that he would save us from the power of our enemies so we could serve him, so we could serve God without fear, being holy and righteous before God as long as we live.
Mm.
Oh, I love that.
I do,
that
too.
That is just so
gorgeous.
Cool.
God promised. He did it. God
did
said it. I believe it.
Right.
That
God
settles
promised,
it.
You know, God promised through David, through Abraham, that he's going to free us from our enemies so we can serve God. And then he says in verse 76, now you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God.
Now he's prophesying over his own son, John.
You will go before the Lord to prepare his way.
Mm.
There you go. Malachi 3, Isaiah chapter 40.
Absolutely, yes.
You'll make the people know that they will be saved. Okay. Or you'll give his people knowledge of salvation by having their sins forgiven. With the tender mercy of our God, a new day from heaven will dawn upon us. And heaven will visit us.
Heaven will visit us.
It'll shine. It will shine on those who sit in darkness.
Right.
In the shadow of death. It will guide our feet unto the path of peace or wholeness.
Yes. Yes.
Now, is that, I mean, I just get so blessed. And it's funny because through the years, I mean, these verses didn't mean, it's for some reason I skipped over them. Maybe I thought they were too, I don't know, Catholic or something. But I tended to kind of skip over them until one time I really sit down and read them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, oh, there's so much here.
You got to know that Zechariah had an epiphany, if you want to call it. I mean, he had a turning point in his life during those months of silence because he's now got it right. It's not, God, how could you possibly do this? Elizabeth and I are really too old to have a child.
Right.
Instead, it's, wow. This has happened. This is the forerunner to the Messiah.
Right.
Came from his loins.
When he prophesies it down here with in verse 76, you're going to be called a prophet of Most High. You're going to go
John
before him.
Yes.
John, to prepare his way.
Right.
I mean,
just God coming all over Zechariah. And we know all over Elizabeth and all over Mary. We don't know much about Joseph, but we know Joseph was an amazing man to do what he did. And then to continue to establish a home with Mary and have other children and all of that. What an amazing quartet of people we have right here. These four. These two couples. Amazing. And what a blessing to all of us now still. Mm-hmm. These words of Zechariah, that because when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, which, of course, we teach and preach at Beacon of Hope, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and God comes all over you and brings his presence, then these kinds of things do happen. You prophesy and you declare the word of the Lord.
And I was just thinking, I just read, was it in Micah? Let me see. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't in Micah. Maybe it was in Amos. I think it's in Amos, about the lion has roared, who can but fear? God has spoken, who can but prophesy?
Right.
You know, and God spoke to Zechariah. He couldn't help but prophesy.
He couldn't help but do that because he was like full of the blessing of the Lord. Wow, God, you have done this? You really have done this?
And the first words out of his mouth in the prophecy are, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And I think that's important because blessed are you, God. But he says specifically the God of Israel, because the rest, so much of what he says, look, God, you promised us all these covenants you made with us. Amen. And you fulfilled them.
You have fulfilled them. Wow. So how does this apply to all of us, dear listeners? It applies in that this is not a coincidence in history. This was the plan and timing of God Almighty that he would redeem mankind and bring a Savior to us. In fact, he named him Jesus, and his name means Jehovah is our salvation, our deliverance, our safety, our helper, our prosperer. That's what the name Jesus means. He was not named that out of any kind of, what are we going to name him? Let's just name him Jesus. No, he had to be named that because that means Jehovah is our salvation, our deliverer, our safety, you know, our helper, our prosperer. It's all about Jesus. And as we celebrate the season, we encourage you to spend some time alone meditating. Get your Bible. Look at some of these scriptures. Maybe go back and listen to this show again. Right. And get it down on the inside of you that this is so vitally important that you understand that God had a plan and he had perfect timing on his plan.
Well, because it affects us. We have the choice. We can choose to believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was resurrected to give us new life, and he's coming back for us.
Amen.
Because it's, you know, you always say, Pastor, it's more than fire insurance, and it certainly is. You know, God's already saved us. All we got to do is accept that he's done that, and we can live eternally with him. I mean, what more do you want? It's so simple.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear people talking at work. We have some people in kind of in New Age stuff, and it's like, you know, I had one person tell me they believe in reincarnation, and I just wanted, I kind of looked at him, why?
Right.
It's so simple. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Right. He rose according to the scriptures.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
According to the scriptures.
Yeah, and all he expects of, or what he really wants from us, is a faith response.
Absolutely.
A response saying, yes, Lord.
And a response like Mary, be it done to me according to your word. I fall in line and in agreement with your plan, your timing in my life, your plan for my life. That is what it's all about.
And that's what he wants from us.
Yes. Absolutely. Wow, this has been a fabulous show. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and hear it again. In a couple days, it'll be on every week. We get it up by about Tuesday. And just know that God has a plan for your life, dear listener.
Amen.
And Lord, we just ask that every person that's listening or will listen to this show understands that you love them so much, that your plan is perfect for their life, Amen. That the timing is perfect, and that all we need to do, each of us, is trust you.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Amen.
And that is what it's all about.
Amen.
It's always a joy to have you on the show. Sometimes when I'm gone, you host, and you'll be doing that more in the new year, I'm sure. And, you know, God is just amazing what he's doing.
Ooh.
And we just give him all the glory and
Amen.
Praise. He's so wonderful. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Clearwater, Florida. And we're so glad you have joined us today. And we welcome you to visit our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, where you can hear other radio shows and also find out what this ministry is all about. We're all about the Word of God, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Amen.
You can contact Pastor Jim personally at pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And me, I'm just pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's been a great time together with you today in the Word. It's Not Far to Jesus. Yes, we will be here live next Sunday on the air on Christmas Day at 4 o'clock.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. God bless you.
It's not far.